Amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12. The last message we preached on Sunday morning was out of James chapter 4 on what is your life? A good question. What is our life? And we went through and studied the Bible as far as what God tells us about life. This physical life as well as our spiritual lives. And we went through and studied some of that. James said that it's as a vapor. And the truth of that is it could be over any day. The Lord could return or at least call the church up at any moment, or our lives as we know it could change with just a car accident, heart attack, a brain aneurysm. There's many of things. We think we have our lives planned out and they could change overnight. Well, and following up with that, I think that's still the idea there is what is your life? I want to take you to Luke in chapter 12. This parable, very familiar parable, the rich fool that God's given to us. And if you'd stand with me, we're going to read that, and then we're going to read what Jesus said about this parable, and that's what we're going to be preaching on this morning. But first of all, the parable found in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Verse 23 says, The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye of little faith. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags with which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again today, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together. We're so thankful for it. We thank you, God, for what you've already given to us in this place, the experience of being in church and the blessing of congregational singing, the blessing of special music. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, Lord God, I pray that you would give us the understanding of this, and that that understanding might be able to be applied to our everyday lives. I ask, God, that you would use me once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Started here with the parable of the rich fool. And he addresses some of the very same thing when he says, the life is more than what this fool thought it was. Food and raiment, the things of this world. Being able to storehouse it and then to lay back and just enjoy whatever you might have put in store. God says this life, the life is more than meat. The life is more than that. We should not be consumed by what this world has to offer, is what he's saying there. We live in this world, no doubt about it. There are certain needs we have in this world, and God uses the different things, but we should not be consumed, as many are, and it continues to grow in number, with what this world has to offer. Can I tell you, for most, it's just a carrot that Satan uses to get you to focus on that and forget about everything else. Many will never, no matter how much you attempt it, no matter how much you give yourself to it, you're never going to fulfill all your desires and receiving whatever you want, what you're giving yourself to in this world. For most, it's just a carrot. Satan will use that carrot. But this morning, I want you to look at verse 30 with me. After all of this is said about this parable, and then Jesus trying to help them to understand the meaning of this parable, he says something here. He says in verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." This is the mindset of humanity. But he says, "And your Father." Now he's addressing those who have trusted Christ, who are looking to God as their heavenly Father. "Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "We All Have Needs." Look around here today, and there's no doubt every one of us. Matter of fact, last night as I was praying for our church family, I go through the membership list every Saturday night. I pray, and whatever God brings to mind as your need, and most of you, I understand what's going on in your life. I know some of what your needs are, and I pray for your needs. And that's one of the reasons I go through that, because I know you have needs, and I pray that God would meet your needs and the spiritual needs, that God would use this service to help meet those needs. I prepare myself by understanding that everyone that comes to the doors of this church has needs. Everyone sitting in the pews here, including myself standing here today, we all have needs. Some have different emotional and psychological needs than others. Some are more complicated. What you're going through right now and how whatever's happened in your life and whatever you're going through, sometimes it's complicated, and sometimes I don't understand some of the needs that you might have. I do well just to try to understand my wife's needs. Amen? I mean, my goodness. And she does well to understand some of my needs. We can't understand everyone's needs. But the one thing that we can be assured of, and that is, your Father knoweth. God always knows what I need. And God always knows, no matter what you're going through, God always knows what you need. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and is going to be burned up, it's going to be destroyed tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? God knows you have need of clothing. God knows you have need of food. God knows those simple basic needs for life. God knows that. Why would you not think that he would meet that need? Truth of it is, he will meet that need. He says, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If God is preparing that kingdom for you, if God has given you that which he's brought the kingdom to earth, and that's what this idea of the heavenly kingdom is on this earth, is God has brought it and made it available to us today. And one day there is going to be the millennial kingdom of Christ where he will rule and reign on this earth, and the world will be rule and reign in righteousness. We understand that. I trust you understand that. If he wants to give you that, what makes you think that he's not going to meet other needs that we have? And he says, verse 29, neither be ye of doubtful mind. One of the things that God would have you to know is that I love you. I'm your heavenly Father. I will meet your need. Don't doubt that. And that's why verse 31, he says, but rather, don't doubt it. Know that he will, but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, what I want you to do when you're going through times of need is seek me. When they're complicated, realize that God still understands. You've heard me say many a times, there's times in my life that I don't understand myself, let alone anybody else's needs. And I have to go to God and I say, God, help me to understand me. God, you know me better than I know myself. And God, I know that you want to meet my need. And right now, there's some emotional needs. Or right now, there's some spiritual needs. Or right now, there's some mental needs. Or whatever it might be. God, help me to understand my need. What is it? We need to seek the Lord. Because God knows. God always knows what I have need of. And once we understand that, then we also have to realize that if God always knows, then I need to seek him and stop trying to figure it out with my own knowledge. Because I don't always know what I need. Verse 17, as we look at the parable of the rich fool, this is where it came from. Verse 17 and 18, he thought within himself. Too often that's what we do. We just think within ourselves, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. I've got a need here. I've got too much coming in. What a blessing to have that problem. More than what I have place to put it. And he said, this will I do. Because he just thought within himself. And he's only thinking of himself. Well, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then I'm going to say to myself, soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's a worldly mentality. Not thinking of anyone else or anything else and just think within myself, well, I need to just build another house. A bigger house. I can afford 3 or 4 cars now. Think within ourselves. Many times what I think I need is not really what I do need. This man didn't need a bigger storage area, nor was it a time to rest. If he knew what God knew about his life, he would not have looked to these things. And that's why God says, "You fool. Thy soul shall be required of thee this night." If you knew your life was going to be over tonight, is really the thing that you need is to build a larger barn to store more of your goods? If you knew that your life, this was the last day that you're going to spend on planet Earth, are you thinking about sitting back and just taking your ease? I don't think that if you understood what God knew about this man, he would not have said, "This is what I'm going to do." He would not have looked to that as being what he needed. God always knows our needs, and God knows what the future holds for us. And so I cannot just base it on my own thinking. I must include God. Sometimes we think we just need to go out and buy something new. My wife thinks that all the time. And you know what? Sometimes that helps. Sometimes, I mean, yeah, that's, I just needed to do that. Sometimes just a new dress can make you feel better. Sometimes going out, I don't understand this, but having your nails and your toes done, I don't know about that, but makes you feel better. Have at it. Sometimes you think, I just need that, and that will cure whatever this depression is, or oppression, or whatever this sadness is, this something like that, and it can cheer you up. And sometimes you're right, it does, but not always. Because sometimes you go out and do that and spend the money and come home and realize still got the same problem. Sometimes we think we just need a vacation. And can I tell you that, praise the Lord, vacations work from time to time. It's good just to have a different change of scenery, especially if you can go to Florida in January and February out of Indianapolis. Praise the Lord, sometimes that is what we need, is just to be able to see the sun shining, be able to enjoy some warm weather, whatever it might be. And sometimes you say, I just need a vacation, and you can take the vacation, and it might fix whatever it is going on in your life. But how many times have we thought, I just need a vacation, and you take a vacation, and it goes so fast, and you come home, and you realize, still the same. Still the same, didn't fix it. It really wasn't what you needed, or it would have fixed it. Sometimes we think, I just need a change. If you're not careful, I just need to get out of this relationship and find a new one. Just not in love with my wife any longer. I'm not in love with my husband any longer. And I just need a change in my life and my relationship. And Satan will love to convince you that that's what you need. Because once you follow through with that and you realize you're in worse condition than what you were before, he'll sit back and laugh at you. What I think I need is not always what I do need. If we knew what God knows, we might change what we think we need. So God always knows. That's something that I cannot lose sight of. If I'm thinking within myself, I don't always know. And so if that's the truth, then I need to look to God. Can I tell you, and that's what Jesus is teaching here, this man did not know what he truly needed. And Jesus tells his disciples, you're going to get into a place in your life where you're not always going to know what you need, but God will always know what you need. Instead of thinking within yourself, look to God. Can I tell you that God's word reveals our needs? God has designed commandments in that when we obey His commandments, every commandment of God is designed to meet a need that we have. I don't know how it all works, but I just know it works. He said in verse 31, he said, but rather seek ye. Instead of thinking within yourself, instead of looking to what you think you need, look to God and seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God refers to the ways of God. On Wednesday nights, we're studying the life of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came, and the message that he preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order for you to look to the kingdom of heaven or the ways of God that God has brought to this earth, you have to repent of your thoughts. You have to repent of your ways. You have to repent of your sinful nature and then repent of that and look to God. And as you seek the Lord, God will give you what you have need of. Jesus came in his public ministry when he started his way. The message that he preached was the very same message that John had preached, the forerunner of Christ, and that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think maybe what you need is repentance of how we have been living our lives and start looking to how God would have us to live our lives. Repent and seek. We need food and raiment. That's a given. But I believe what Jesus is trying to reveal to them that they have spiritual needs. And they are what's most important. The only way to have spiritual needs met is to look to God. God knows this. Many do not. The lost. What the lost need more than anything, what they truly need, is salvation. Not a new wife. Not a drink. Not drugs. Not a vacation. If you're lost here this morning and you're finding yourself in need and you don't know exactly what's going on, you don't have any kind of a joy in your life. You don't have a peace in how you're living your life and what's taking place in your life. Can I tell you, the start of meeting all the other needs that you have, you say, I don't even have money to buy food and I'm going to lose my house and I'm going to lose this. Even the physical needs that you have, listen to me, the first step in having your needs met, seeking God, who knows what you truly need and is able to meet every one of your needs, but you have to seek Him. If you're lost here this morning, the most important need that you have is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And this is the first step of receiving all the other needs that you have. You cannot have a relationship with God without salvation. You will not receive His spiritual help without turning to Him. You cannot have the peace that passeth all understanding. You cannot have the joy of the Lord, even while you're going through the valleys and the trials of life, outside of knowing God. The lost need to be saved. First step, receiving your other needs. The saved. Seek ye the Lord. The saved need to serve God. It all revolves around obedience. We have the entire Old Testament to help us to understand that. The nation of Israel, the example of the nation of Israel throughout the whole entire Old Testament, whenever they were obedient, all of their needs were taken care of. I mean, some needs. I mean, this is 2 million, over 2 million Israelites coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness and going through the desert land. They had needs of food and water. They had needs of clothing. And as long as they were obedient to God, God brought water out of a rock. God gave them food, manna from the earth. Amen. Just to be obedient, when they woke up, there it was. And he told them not to gather too much because you're going to need it every day. And they wouldn't listen, some of them, and they tried to gather much, and whatever over they had, it turned into worms. Amen. God said, listen to me, every day be dependent upon me. Every day seek me. And if you seek me, I'll send you what you have need of. We have the entire Old Testament that helps us to understand this biblical principle is that if we seek the Lord, He knows our needs and God will meet our need of obedience. And yet we lose sight of that. Before you know it, we're not doing what He commands us to do. And then we wonder, why are my needs not being met? In Mark in chapter 10, verse 17 down to verse 21, you'll not turn there just for sake of time. It's the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. And he's rich. And he says, now, what do I need to do to have everlasting life? And Jesus said, first of all, be obedient to the commandments. Oh, I've done that. He thought he did, but Jesus knew that he had not been. And so Jesus tells him, he says, sell what you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. Sell what you think you need. Sell what you think you need. Put emphasis on what he thought he had, all his riches. Be obedient. Just come and follow me. And the Bible says he was grieved and left Christ because he had so much in this world. He wasn't willing to be obedient. He wasn't willing to turn away from what he thought he needed. Wasn't willing to follow Christ. Can I tell you that true believers will have a need to help others? When you get saved, something happens, not outwardly, but inwardly. When you trust, you believe that God is real, and you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and he resurrected on the third day. You can't be saved unless you truly believe that. When you believe that and then you realize that he offers me a gift of everlasting life. You have to believe that or you can't be saved. You believe that and you receive that. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, save you from your sins, give you this eternal life, give you this gift of everlasting life. When you do that and you truly believe it and you receive Christ, things change from within you. You have now the presence of God living within you, and the presence of God inside of you will make a difference in your life and how you view things. And your view of what you have needs of will change. God in you now, he's going to try to help you to and lead you to live a Christ-like life, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to have a love and compassion upon other people. He came to have a desire to help people. Can I tell you, if you are saved, you will have that need to be a help to other people. If you're saved because of what's inside of you, you have a need now to be able to tell people about the love of Christ. You'll have a need within your own heart and within your own soul to be able to do something to help other people to come to that place. And if you're not doing that, there's going to be a void. And if there is a void in not doing that, can I tell you that depression is often brought on by experiencing a void or a loss in your life? Satan would love to blind you to that. Are you feeling like you're on that verge of oppression or depression or void in your life? Let me ask you something. When's the last time have you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you had compassion upon somebody that you knew was lost and on the way to a devil's hell? had enough compassion to go to that person and say, you know, I love you. And because I love you, I need to tell you something. Jesus loves you and died for you. But if you don't receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to the devil's hell. People don't want to become under conviction. People don't want to hear that, but that's what God wants people to understand because that's true. I have a desire. I have a need to be a witness, and that's why Jesus tells us to go into all the world. Tells us that we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Yeah. That's why he tells us that. That's why he gave us the story of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of the story of the Good Samaritan, he says, go and do thou likewise. Just go and do that very same thing. You don't have to know them. Have compassion on people. Have a love for people. Have a desire to help. And when you look to help somebody else, it's going to do something for you that's going to meet a need that you have. One of the things that I find, when I find myself going through some discouraging times, when I find myself going through some oppression, Satan oppressed, I realize, wait a minute, I need to get my mind off of me and focus on being a help to somebody else. When I start making calls and start helping people and start witnessing to people and trying to be a blessing to some, can I tell you something? Things change. My outlook on life has now changed. My joy, my peace, something going on inside of me. Can I tell you that when that takes place, God meets a need that I have. Didn't even realize it because Satan blinds you to it. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you, you have a need to have a love and compassion for people. Not only that, if you're saved here this morning, you have a need, as a true believer, will have a need to worship God. I trust that you realize that even last Sunday, by not being able to be in church, you're thinking, well, something's missing this week. Hopefully you're able to look back and say, I don't know when the last time it was that I missed a Sunday service. And if that's true, then you realize there's something missing in my life for this week. There's something, a void in my life today. Sunday didn't seem like Sunday without assembling ourselves together and worshiping the Lord and singing praises into his name and hearing the word of God being preached. Listen, if you were saved, can I tell you, you realize I have a need to worship God. And Satan's going to try to tell you when you're going through some trials, you don't need to go to church. Listen to you. Listen to me. When Satan says that to you, that means that you need more church. When you're going through some of the trials of life, when you're going through some of the darkest times of your life, it's not a time to get out of church. It's a time to get farther into church. I don't need to stay away from church. I need to start going more often to church. Why? Because that's a need. If you're saved, you have a need, a spiritual need to worship God, and that's why he commands you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So maybe what you need, instead of a vacation from God, a vacation from coming to church, a greater commitment. God's word reveals our needs. If you're saved this morning, can I tell you, you'll have a need to pray. We have a need to pray. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You have a need? Been asking God to help meet that need? I'm not talking about, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's the only prayer that some people have, is some kind of a statement or something that you have preconceived thought of what I need to say to God. That is not the Heavenly Father that gave his son to die for you. He wants a personal relationship with you. He commands you to always be in prayer. Pray without ceasing. If he commands us to pray without ceasing, always being aware of the presence of God, how's come we're not praying? Well, I think I have this need, and this is how I'm going to meet this need. I'm going to build greater barns, and I'm going to just put it all in there, and then I'm going to just take a vacation and just relax. You don't know what God knows. You need to know what God knows so that you'll understand your need. The only way that you're going to know what God knows is to spend time with God. I'll tell you, when I go through, and I, as a pastor, I go through some of the very same things that you go through. When I go through those times, one of the first things I want to do, find my prayer closet. Shut out everything else. Satan, you're not going to influence me by the voice of this world. You're not going to influence me by what I think. I'm going to shut out everything else. I'm going to go for my prayer closet, get alone with God, and spend time communicating with God. Why? He knows my need. He always knows my need. He knows my need better than I know my need. That's why he commands me to pray. Are you praying? Say, well, preacher, you don't understand my need. I might not, but I know that God does. And if you don't have what you have need of, you need to spend more time in prayer. How much time do you spend in your prayer closet? How much time do you really spend just trying to get a hold of God and communicating with Him? Lastly, God always knows my needs. God's word reveals my needs. His commandments will help meet needs in my life. I need for God's word. God's word is my counsel, the psalmist said. In a multitude of counselors are safety. Where no counsel is, people fall. God's word is my counsel. Where are you seeking your counsel from? Well, I went to the financial advisor and he told me to build bigger barns. If I have all this money coming in, surely I just need to make better investments. And with all these investments, I can just retire at 45. I can retire early and all I have to do is lay back and I'm going to really enjoy the rest of my life. Because I got the counsel from my financial advisors. Your financial advisors don't know what God knows about you. If he had known that his life had been over within 24 hours, he would have seen his needs in a different light. If he knew what God knew, the only way to know what God knows, spend time with God. Spend time communicating with God and then let God counsel you. We'll preach on this morning David's influence over those that God brought to him, a bunch of misfits. And David had to realize that God was going to use him to help them. His influence was very important. What you allow to influence you is very important. Whoever you give an ear to, you're allowing to influence you. Whatever you listen to, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on television, whether it's reading a book, you're allowing that individual to influence you. You're giving them a place of influence in your life. Are you giving God a place of influence? When you're here, praise the Lord. The most important thing that I do on Sunday morning is be used by God just to wave a red flag and say, this is God's influence over you today. This is a message that God has for you to hear. And I use this platform, I use my influence as a pastor to preach the very words of God because I know that everyone who comes through these doors needs to hear what thus saith the Lord. That's all I can do. Use the platform that God's given to me to influence. What you do with it It's your free will. Are you letting God counsel you? Are you taking heed to what thus saith the Lord? We all have needs. If I go around here and have each one of you stand, I guarantee you everyone here could say, "Preacher, I have this need and I have that need and this need." I'm not going to understand them all. One thing I know for sure, God always knows what I need. Seek Him. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What is your life? God knows what kind of time He's given us. God knows what He wants us to accomplish. God knows what He is allowing to come into our lives or what He is taking us through. He knows where He wants you to go from here to tomorrow. Look to Him. Matthew would say the very same thing as he wrote in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All those needs, whatever they might be, shall be added unto you. Lost man, lost lady, lost teenager, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the first step to getting your needs met is trusting Christ as your Savior. Saved man, saved lady, saved teenager, if you're saved, having your needs met will revolve around one thing: obedience. Obedience. We obey. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. I pray that You'd use it to help us, to meet needs, to help direct us, work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.